There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along, and heads up, too, taking the show on the road on Friday, heading to South Baldwin County to the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show that gets started Friday, goes through Sunday, and it's, let's see, the superlative stats here, over $100 million in boats to be seen at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, 700 of them that you could put on a trailer, right? They'll be there. The 700 on kind of my realm where I, you know, my bailiwick, as they say. And then for looking at, for me, but maybe some of you players, for buying, 140 that are so big they don't make trailers for them. That's going on at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. So you can go look at maybe the boats for me that would be kind of in my world, and then I could walk over there and go, woo, look at them. It's all there. One place. Wharf Boat and Yacht Show starts on Friday. In addition, $100 million in boats on display. Also, exhibitors there for putting stuff on your boats, right? You've got marine electronics. You've got gear for the boat. Anything for the coastal lifestyle, for boating, they're there as well. You've got, also, I want to point this out. I hadn't talked about it this week before today, but marine artist Larry Rackley, if you've ever seen this guy's work, one day I'm going to own like one of his tuna paintings or something. He's really a fantastic artist. He's back. I think he's done this for a couple of years in a row now. He does a kids art class event where you bring the kids, they sit down, and he teaches them how to do pretty fantastic artwork. That's going on. So there's stuff, and plus there's live music, exhibitor displays, instructional seminars going on all throughout the weekend. So you can look at the boats, and there's things to do, things for the kids to do. Of course, you're at the Wharf, and you've got all the entertainment options, restaurants, all that good stuff in one place. It's the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show, and it starts Friday. It starts, I think, doors open at 10 on Friday and goes through Sunday. More information on getting your tickets, any kind of information you need, is on wharfboatshow.com, or you can find them on Facebook, and we'll see you down there. We're doing Midday Mobile live from the Grander Marine Grander opening that's happening in conjunction with the boat show, and that's on Friday from noon to 2, so stop by and see us. I see some people on the text line already said they will be doing that. And I'll see y'all there. I'll tell you what I'm going to do also. I'm going to bring some of those very cool logoed FM Talk 106.5 boat buckets, you know, with the rope handles, all that cool stuff. I'll bring some of those there, give you a chance to win those. And on the way down, you can, you know, ride by and say hello to Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. You know, we'll just pull the van out in front of your house and do a remote there. You think that's good?
What a fabulous segue. Yeah, no. I don't think that's a good idea. I really don't.
Okay. I just checking. But it was a fantastic segue. Good to have you back on. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be back. I just had back surgery. I'm 2 inches taller than I have been in my adult life.
Now, you keep saying that. Really?
I'm serious.
You really are taller.
I actually am 2 inches taller. My back was so compacted that my surgeon had to straighten my spine, and he put in some cadaver bones for discs, put in some spacers. I feel amazing. And my surgeon is in Mobile. So if anybody wants to know who that was, y'all can message me, because he was amazing. And he used to be a NASA flight surgeon. I mean, he did me up right. I feel better now than I have in 10 years. I'm not kidding you.
That's fantastic. That's a testament right there. That makes me happy, and I think makes a lot of folks happy. I'm happy that you're also 2 inches taller. That's also very good. So, that means you know how many more rides you can get on at the fair now?
That's hilarious. I am short, but I'm not as short as I always have been. So I just feel, I feel amazing. I felt like a supermodel when I got out of the hospital. Like, I, you just can't imagine how 2 inches of height is, it changes you. It does.
Yeah.
You have a different view on everything now.
Yeah, elevated view for sure. But we're happy about that. There's good news and glad to have you back. First of all, so many stories to talk about over at 1819 News that you've written. Give me the Carly Russell update here. This story that is it seems to never go away.
Right. So just to remind everybody, Carly Russell is the gal that faked her kidnapping after she said she saw a baby on the side of the interstate. I-459 in Hoover. This happened last year, but she... You know, her whole case kind of sparked a lot of change, hopefully, in Alabama, as far as if you report a false crime that involves certain agencies, you can be charged with a felony. And so in Hoover, she was actually convicted in municipal court last year of filing a false report or making a false report. And so what happened is after she... was convicted there, she decided to go to the state level and appeal that conviction. And so they set a trial date. That trial date was supposed to be next week, but they came ahead this week and canceled that trial. And now they have in place of it a plea hearing. So we're expecting for her to plead guilty.
Okay. What kind of, do we know what, I don't know what the charge is for that. I mean, what kind of, do you go to prison for that, or you pay a fine, get slapped on the wrist, or?
Since this was her appeal, I don't think there's any other charge that she can face. She'll just say, you know, I plead guilty to this. I'll pay the fine that they told me to pay, which was about $20,000, just under $20,000. Plus, she would have to do a year in jail. So she would, her case for Hoover would just go back into place.
So, but she, so she could see the inside of prison.
A jail for a year. Yes, she would probably just be in Hoover Municipal Jail.
Just wonder, like, you know, you, I don't know how it is for women, for females, but you know, you think when people go into, men go into jail or prison, you might want to even create some kind of hard thing you did to make yourself seem tough. I don't know if it's like that in women's prison, but you go in, oh, you're in here because you made up your own kidnapping. You know, the other ones, I mean, me and my husband knocked over a bank, or I was selling drugs, or I beat the crap out of it. What are you in here for? Faking my kidnapping, saying I saw a baby.
Yeah, I don't think that would go over well. I mean, I don't know for sure. Thankfully, I have never been to jail. But hopefully, you know, I'm sure she would be probably put in, like, segregated from everybody else just for her safety at first. And then maybe those programs they have in the local jails, which aren't a lot, would help her. I feel like she really needs some mental help, some attention there. I hope that she, whatever has happened in her life or whatever's happening in her mind can be addressed, because it's really sad. She was a young woman who had a bright future, and she pretty much threw that away when she made the decision to fake her own kidnapping. And people have been brutal.
Yeah, they have. I mean, she's suffered a lot in social media, right? I mean, she's suffered a lot, but she, mm-hmm. I mean, but she did bring it on herself. So
that's true.
Okay, I want to switch.
And she hasn't apologized, as far as I know. I haven't seen an apology, but at the same time, I don't know if she would even be equipped to apologize at this point. But if you think of it like this, could be your daughter, or if this was your child. After a while, yes, you know, you want them to pay the consequences. She will. She's probably going to spend a year in jail and have to pay $20,000 in fines. But also, if it's your child, you know, eventually you would say, okay, enough is enough.
I agree with you on that as well. Let her get some help, and then, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this. As they are debating in Montgomery, gaming, as they call it, I call it gambling, not to be pejorative, just because that's what it is. You have a story up about this Red 44 sports betting trial. This, if y'all haven't read this, 11 defendants, like you said, 6 Alabama, but this thing goes more places in Alabama. And I know to some people, maybe how these things work, is second nature to them. I'm ignorant to this stuff, so it's a very interesting read to me about what the Department of Justice says they were doing here and what this trial is, and then what the latest news is on it as well.
Yeah, so the 11 defendants, this is a federal case. This has nothing to do with the state. This is, you know, a large-scale operation that was going on online. This is a sports betting case.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've read all of the documents to this, and it reads like a Nicolas Cage movie or something. I mean, it's crazy. It's just, I feel like they might make a movie out of this one day. We're talking about people flying to Colorado with a, you know, briefcase full of money and meeting in a parking lot. I mean, it's just, it's good stuff. I mean, if you're in the entertainment world, but for this to be real life and to be six defendants from Alabama, it's not very entertaining to them at all. They had this company called Red 44, and they are now charged with 114 counts. Those counts range from conspiracy to tax evasion, operating an illegal sports betting organization, which if you're operating anything illegal, that's illegal. So that's where that came from. And several of these defendants that are from Alabama, they have asked for their cases to be dismissed. They've been denied that. This is definitely happening. They are going to trial. And if you know anything about federal charges, typically if you're charged in a federal case, you're going to pay for that. It's not like the state charges where, you know, 50-50, you might be found guilty, might not. A lot of times in these federal cases, we see convictions because they're not going to waste their time on stuff unless they have, you know, all their ducks in a row and all their evidence.
No, feds have a pretty good track record. They, you know, it stands out when they lose one. It stands out. It's not,
yeah.
It's not a jump ball 50-50. Another thing I want to point out, if people read through this, you wrote the organization. So this Red 44 was estimated to have accepted hundreds of millions of dollars in wagers from bettors from 2019 through 2021, and did not pay taxes according to the indictment. Excise tax owed to the IRS from the 2019 profits is estimated to be $6.8 million, give or take. It is interesting that you're doing something that's illegal, but the IRS is coming back and saying you didn't pay taxes on it. You know, of course you didn't. It was illegal.
Is that receiving stolen property, IRS? I don't know.
I mean, weird, right? They're saying
I'm sorry.
No, just say this weird when you say, hey, y'all are running a legal sports betting operation and you didn't pay taxes on it.
Yeah, well, I think that there is a way that they could have gone through the legal route to do this. So that's where the problem in lies. They could have claimed their money legally. But that's a whole different, that would have been something they would have had to do before they even started this organization.
So,
that's an interesting point there. They have seized a lot of property in connection to this investigation. Some of the property on the seizure list has not been seized yet, but could be. And one of those properties is most of the Trustful Entertainment District, which is owned by the city of... The entertainment district itself was put into place by the city of Trustful, but then another guy came in and bought and developed the properties within the entertainment district. And he built restaurants. They're on the list. A brewery, that's on the list. And the guy that is operating all of those things is not one that's facing the charges. So I don't know why his property is on this, other than some of the people that had this sports betting organization probably helped him financially make the Trustful Entertainment District happen.
So there's going to be more coming from this. There's more questions. I mean, first of all, you got the delay in it, but you've got then afterwards, you got more questions about where the assets are and who gets them.
And what's going to happen with the city of Trustful if half of their Trustful Entertainment District is seized by the feds? I have no idea.
I think the feds can
keep going. But.
The feds, listen, the feds can run an entertainment complex, can't they? Feds are fun.
Oh, I don't know about that. but the latest in this case is that it's been continued again. So we're supposed to have a trial in February. That didn't happen because this is so complex. Like I said, there's so much to it. the attorneys were like, we're not ready yet. So we're going to have until at least May 6th. And then sometime after May 6th, we might see another trial date.
There we go. If people want to reach out to you with maybe story ideas, things they're looking at, or possibly want to find out who your surgeon was, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, definitely keep up with 1819news.com because we're covering the legislature very well. My coworkers are doing an amazing job. They're putting out stories left and right. So definitely check us out there. But you can also email me at erica.thomas@1819news.com. And that's my direct email.
Good stuff. Glad to have you back. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. There she goes, Erica Thomas. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right at 126, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Oh, you know, Jason, I agree with you. Jason says on the text line, Sean, any attempts anyone had to take RFK Jr., as serious or shot after his potential VP picks mentioned in the news break. So I think RFK Jr. is interesting, right? I like things that are different. But Jason, I agree with you. Aaron Rodgers is what they said, I think I heard. Come on. I'd be like, oh, yeah, but I'm sure somebody said, well, listen, a lot of people like him. It's, you know, he's the brand name. How about, I got an idea. How about Tulsi Gabbard? If RFK Jr. had Tulsi Gabbard, now that would be an interesting ticket, right? But they are, yeah, I heard that same thing too, Jason. I'm like, I don't know. Why? Maybe it's just because I'm not a pro football person. Maybe there's a lot of people going, no, that's brilliant. Maybe it is. Explain to me how it's a brilliant move for RFK Jr., and I will listen to you for sure. Don't know if I'll agree, but I will listen. Doesn't have meta, says Sean. I'm tired of the gaming talk, too. It's time to get back old school. Call it what it is, casting lots. And that only brings in the harlots and reprobates to take the state straight to hell. I agree with you through sentence one. I mean, there's plenty. I would disagree and say there's already harlots and reprobates around. So what we're talking about here, if you hadn't heard the in the past, every news report you'll hear on it says Alabama discussing gaming. It's gambling. And I don't say that. I'm not saying like gambling, like get them. I said, that's just not how I'm wired. It doesn't bother me that much. It bothers me that people on the gambling side will tell you everything's cool with it. It's not. It comes with societal ills. I mean, once again, I'm somebody who's for moving, not this bill they're talking about, but a real, you know, open free market system of having gambling if they want to do that. I'm for that. I'm not for this monopoly stuff. But if they tell you it doesn't bring bad things with it, they're wrong. They're wrong. I mean, but you have to balance out, you know, and say, is it worth this to get this? That's like grown-ups discussing things, right? Which doesn't happen often. But they use the term gaming. It's gambling. Like I said, I don't use it as a pejorative. I'm just trying to be accurate. They're talking about gambling. We're not talking about people playing Dungeons & Dragons or Fortnite or something like that. Gaming. We're talking about gambling. Discount. I don't know what that means, King of all unnamed textures, but I'll get back to that. Damn Yankee said the Boeing whistleblower, and we're going to get to this when we come back from the news, said the Boeing whistleblower is stating the exact same safety issues that came out of NASA after the Challenger disaster. Boeing will be found guilty. It's just a matter of time. Maybe. Maybe. It's Boeing, though, Damn Yankee. You know, you talk about deep roots in the swamp. Boeing's got them. We'll visit this when we come back. 343-0106. News is straight ahead.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 343-0106. That's how you get in touch. 343-0106. Y'all say hi. It's my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And it's tax time. People are doing the cash car thing. Talk to me about the logic of that or the illogic of that.
Well, they do the cash car and they also do the buy here, pay here. And, most of the buy here, pay here cars, they last 1 year and you get another one next tax season, which is not what we're trying to do. The cars that we've been buying here for the last forevers, we try to buy nice cars. And, every once in a while we'll miss one. I mean, nobody's perfect, but most of the cars we've always dealt in are prime customers with good credit that can go through the credit union and whatnot. Well, the Buy Here, Pay Here program is using those same cars. All of our cars are being inspected. All of our cars are being detailed. We're not just trying to push anybody into anything. And with that happening, most all customers are getting a 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty on the Buy Here, Pay Here cars as well. So it makes a big difference in how you buy, what you buy, and where you buy. And I'm hoping that people give us an opportunity.
All right. For that to happen, they can come see you online or in person. How do they do that?
Yeah, online, we've got another 2 truckloads on the way this week. I just got back in town early this morning, so we'll have pictures of those when they get here. LCMMotorCars.com. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or you can just come see us in person. We're 1 mile south of I-10 at exit 15A at Highway 90 and Plantation.
David, thank you. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, Sean.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Okay, we get to the Boeing story, but a couple other texts coming in here. First of all, I want to say good news. So our buddy David said he's 1 year anniversary of his open heart surgery, and it's good to still have you amongst us, David. We're happy about that. So good for you. Good for you. Yeah, I mean, you've got the heart work done, and then our friend Erica Thomas is 2 inches. How about that? You don't have a bigger heart now. She's 2 inches taller after her surgery. How about that? The Aaron Rodgers thing. Let's see. People talk like I would have. Maybe there's somehow that this is a good move to put Aaron Rodgers on the ticket because he's known or something. I don't think that was RFK's best move. Would Tulsi Gabbard have, and yes, I know I'm constantly, I don't agree. This is, people are like, well, you know that Tulsi does, I'm like, yeah, there's very few politicians that I would ever agree with 100%. I just don't, I can find something. So there's things that I disagree with Tulsi Gabbard, but if you're putting together that kind of alternative ticket that they're talking about with RFK Jr., and you put Tulsi Gabbard on there, I think that's the move. Who do you think? You hit us up on the text line, 343-0106. All right, so to this Boeing story, right? And, the reason I said that maybe they won't get their comeuppance, I've told this story many times, but back when Airbus was in the mix here for the tanker contract, and, I'm a homer, so I'm cheering for Airbus here locally, and looking at the situation with the tanker and how it was built and how it would work, even to the point Congressman Jerry Carl will tell you that when we're running missions half a world away, our planes are refueling using an Airbus tanker there. It fits. It works. But I remember thinking we would get the thing, and my late father, who was in the aeronautical airplane engine business, you guessed the place, here locally, who had been working in that world for decades, said, nah, they're not going to get it. And I said, no. Look, this Airbus thing's better. He said, nah, they're not going to get it. He said, listen. And he, kind of rolled out the list of things that happened in Washington. He said, Boeing has somebody assigned almost to everybody who has a decision-making in the military. Anybody who can make a decision on purchasing aircraft, they have their own person from Boeing, that the job of that person from Boeing is to just be there to answer any questions of that person, that general, let them know anything they want, like an attaché almost that works for Boeing. At the same time, he pointed out, he said, hey, when we get off in the at the airport in Washington, because that's where we used to fly through a lot to go see family in Pennsylvania. He said, what's the first sign you see? And I said, I don't know. He said, Sean, it's Boeing. You know what the second sign is? I said, I don't know. He said, oh, it's like something, go see the Capitol. He said, you know what the third sign is? It's Boeing. He said, the roots are so deep here. And he was spot on and right. So that's only just my only response there to will they be held to full account? I don't know. How much of the, I was going to say the landing be, how much the landing be softened, but I probably shouldn't say that. For Boeing, I think there'll be some of that because of their connections with Washington. But let's get to this. So this Boeing quality inspector, John Barnett, 62, out of Louisiana, spent 30 years with Boeing. He was, you know, the quality inspector there. Monday, he was found dead. They're saying that, you know, the report is that it's a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Of course, speculation is rampant here that he was Epstein'd on this thing, that he didn't suicide himself, right? I want to play this clip. This clip is kind of long. It's 2 minutes here. But it came from TMZ, you know, the TMZ, which is usually like pop culture or gossip page or all that. But over the years, they really, I remember they've gotten some pretty good scoops. Here's their interview. I think it's like 2 weeks ago. TMZ is interviewing this guy who is now dead, John Barnett out of Louisiana, who worked for Boeing. Here's what he said in his conversation. And they started with a door plug question about Boeing planes and go on from there. Listen here.
The FAA is saying that the plane is now safe to fly. What do you say?
One, this is not a 737 problem. It's a Boeing problem. And I know the FAA's gone in and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly. But my concern is, what's the rest of the airplane? What's the rest of the condition of the airplane? And the reason my concern for that is, back in 2012, Boeing started removing inspection operations off their jobs. So it left the mechanics to buy off their own work. So what we're seeing with the door plug blowout is what I've seen with the rest of the airplane as far as jobs not being completed properly, inspection of steps being removed, issues being ignored. My concerns are with the 737 and the 787. Because those programs have really embraced the theory that quality is overhead and non-value added. So those two programs have really put a strong effort into removing quality from the process. When I first started working at Charleston, I was in charge with pushing back defects to our suppliers. And what that meant was I'd take a group of inspectors and actually go to the supplier and inspect their product before they sent it in. Well, I'd taken a team of four inspectors to Spirit AeroSystems to inspect the 41 section before they sent it to Charleston. And we found 300 defects. Some of them were significant that needed engineering intervention. When I returned to Charleston, my senior manager told me that we had found too many defects and he was gonna take the next trip. So the next trip he went on, he took two of my inspectors. And when they got back, they were given accolades for only finding 50 defects. So I pulled that inspector aside and I said, did Spirit really clean up their act that quick? That don't sound right. And she was mad. She said, no. Said the two inspectors were given 2 hours to inspect the whole 41 section and they were kicked off the airplane.
How about that? So that was the voice of that John Barnett. About 2 weeks ago, did the interview, who was found dead on Monday. So, of course, there's all the discussion of, you know, what really happened here. But that, whichever way in what we find out about his passing, and this is just one person, but a whistleblower, just in that 2 minutes, to me, is really eye-opener. Don't know if he was, he could be giving his own version of things, but there's, I guess the danger of it is, if it was a fallacy, is there's parts of it that seem to make sense, how this ended up happening. This idea of not having oversight, them trying to cut cost, and you know, you're the person on the line doing the work on the Boeing, and you have nobody come back behind you and look at it. Now, could this be just try to be fair and exercise in critical thinking. Could he, because he was a quality inspector, could he have been let go and then been sore about that? And maybe. But just the detail, what I've read about this guy, seems like a good old boy. And just hearing him, like, without anything else other than watching the video, I think there's a lot of truth in it. But I cannot prove that. Okay, we'll get your texts and calls here. Oh, I also want to add to it. I mentioned the door seal thing. I don't know if y'all saw this. I think it came out yesterday. I think it was yesterday over at Business Insider and a couple other places. But the headline here, the FAA found staff at Boeing's supplier. Remember, so you heard John Barnett just talk about the supplier. At Boeing's supplier using Liquid Dawn soap as a lubricant for the 737 MAX door seal. Not that Dawn dishwashing soap is not very good for a lot of things. I had to put a new antenna on the boat the other day. I had to pull wire. Of course, Dawn dishwashing soap or whatever Dollar General imitation I had helps it fly through there. It also washes dishes. You see the commercials. It gets oil off baby ducks. Whatever other things get oil on them. But here's it said here from Business Insider. Federal Aviation Administration auditors saw mechanics for a Boeing supplier using Liquid Dawn soap as a lubricant for fitting a door seal. And once again, if somebody's inside and this is standard practice, let me know, because it may be, right? I mean, I don't know. So the regulator then observed mechanics at Spirit AeroSystems, who builds the fuselage of Boeing 737 MAX, cleaning up using a wet cheesecloth. These findings were part of a six-week audit documented in a set of FAA presentation slides upon which the Times based its report. The slides said that Boeing had failed 33 of 89 product audits related to the 737 MAX production, while Spirit failed 7 of 13 audits, according to the Times. Global scrutiny is building in the quality of the 737 MAX's fuselage after a door plug on the Alaska Airlines flight blew out in mid-January while the flight was still in midair. Of course, everybody has been talking about that. And then, you know, today, story out, United Boeing 777 forced to land after a fuel leak during takeoff, which is the fifth, according to the story from the Daily Mail, is the fifth safety incident in a week. So, with that, and it's good to talk to this guy, it's 1 year anniversary, but if I talk, it's like, what was the movie? If you say Leprechaun three times or whatever it was, or Chucky or whatever they come out. But if you say Airbus, you're talking about Boeing. I look down and it's David from Mobile. Hey, David.
I'm kind of like the field of dreams. You build it, they will come.
That's right. I talk about, so this is, this has been a whole bunch in 1 week's time about this. And obviously the pivot point here is the death of this, this whistleblower.
Yes. First of all, he was not Vince Fostered. Okay, let's get that straight. What's probably happened here is this guy either was really distraught over the quality issues at Boeing to the point that he had probably some underlying mental issues that probably led to his suicide, or he got so frustrated that nobody was listening to him to the point that he thought like if he took his own life, that would bring attention to these quality issues. That's probably one of those two things is what happened here.
Yeah.
But I do have to say that if you're a member of the Boeing PR team, if you didn't start 2024 with gray hair, you certainly have it now, because it has been a bad year for the PR team at Boeing, because not only did the door plug happen, not only did these how these issues just now coming to light, but you know what the quality control fix that they want to do to fix these issues with the Spirit AeroSystems and the fuselage door is? They want to buy Spirit AeroSystems. They don't want to put more quality control checks in place. They don't want to change processes. They just want to buy Spirit AeroSystems back.
Well, that'll fix it.
Oh, of course. And then on top of that, you know, they were discovered to be bad mouthed. Their lobbyists were discovered to be bad mouthing the FAA, not the FAA, the NTSB head during the investigation of the Alaska door plug blowout to GOP lawmakers. And they, the FAA basically in their initial report and their NTSB report came out, they said, Boeing can't find paperwork, give us paperwork related to this door plug blowout. Boeing not giving information to a government agency to make the best conclusions possible? Does that sound familiar to anybody here in Mobile, i.e. the tanker contract? Because that's how they won the appeal that led to the successful third round of competition that they got the tanker contract with. They basically withheld information from the Air Force to make the best decision possible. And then they appealed saying the Air Force didn't have all the information they needed to make the best decision possible.
I remember that. They needed more info.
Yeah, so they basically got rewarded for bad behavior from the Air Force, which, by the way, still hasn't received all of the air tankers from Boeing yet, from the initial round of tankers, and they want to buy more from the Air Force without having a competition.
They were having quality issues, quality control issues or something with the KC-46s or whatever it was, the tanker?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and it was just like, and it was anything from minor stuff like tools being left in the planes after assembly to major stuff that the Air Force had to go and basically change out the systems once they took delivery of the planes. So this whistleblower that just committed suicide is right. There is a culture of lax quality at Boeing to the point that that there's going to have to be major changes at the top of the leadership structure at Boeing for anything to really change because it is a culture of lax quality control at Boeing that's the problem. It's not the ground level workers. It's not the engineers. It's the leadership.
David, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this going forward quite a bit. All right, 1:52, heading the news, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:55, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This segment brought to you by my friend Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. There's enough pollen out there to tell you it is spring, so you're doing the spring cleaning thing that around here can start in February, right? Spring cleaning time going on. It's a lot easier to clean up with fewer items around, less junk. Like I've talked about, if you could imagine what the house would look like if you had a guest room again instead of just the place where you piled all the junk, or a storage unit you pay on every month that you don't even need the stuff that's in there. Or maybe this idea of having a garage that, get me here, the garage you put a car in. It's pretty cool, huh? Or even big junk you want gone. With routine, my man, he and his crew in Mobile and Baldwin counties are removing like above ground pools, swing sets, storage buildings and backyards, those kind of things. If you've got junk, you need it gone, you need my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to make the appointment, and you can do it online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call them. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just a couple texts here before we wrap up. Let's see. Okay, this is good because out of all the ones, I'll pick two that are like bookends. Pat says, I use Dawn dishwashing soap for lubricant all the time at work. Not. Okay. So there's Pat saying that. But remember when I got into this and they're talking about using Dawn dishwashing fluid, I said, this may be. I don't know that business because I do. I mean, I was pulling wires the other day on the boat and using the same idea. Matt says, hey, Sean, Dawn liquid is a perfect material to use when fitting tight rubber seals onto pieces of glass, doors, or windows, or window frames. It makes them pliable and easy to fit in, and then dries, but nothing left behind. You know, I've done that too. Now that, Matt, you say that when putting gaskets in, of course, not airplanes, boats, but if I'm putting like a hatch seal in a boat, then, and I'm sure it's the same thing for automotive, that, yeah, you put that on there. So it'll slide in, and then for me, I can just wash it off. Like, you know, once it's in place, you spray water on it. I don't know. I don't know if that's the. I don't know if that's what you do. This it was a let's see, Business Insider story that was saying reporting on New York Times report saying the Boeing supplier using liquid Dawn soap as a lubricant for fitting a door seal. You know, that may be one of those things that the people at the New York Times don't know how things are done, and that's the normal thing. Maybe they're just saying, okay, Boeing's in trouble. Let's do everything we can to jump on them here. I don't know. That may not. How about the other stuff, though? How about not having the quality control going on there? I think it's of interest, and I don't think that story is over for sure. All right, we'll do it all again tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile. And reminder, too, Friday, South Baldwin, I'm coming to see y'all down at the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show for the Grander Marines Grander opening. We'll see you then. All right, Feinbaum next.